I will be reading from Psalms 78, 1 through 6. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard are known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He declared statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they, in turn, would tell their children.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be here with you. It's always an honor for me to stand before you as we open up God's Word together. Now, I love coming here to Lake Jackson, love sharing with you. Most often when I come, it's usually over a holiday or what we call Allen's vacation. It's usually when you see me. In fact, I think this is the first time that I've had the opportunity to preach when Allen is actually here, so you know what that means, right? No Allen jokes. And so, sorry. But I know you know that you are blessed for Allen and Sharon being here. They love this church, and they love serving here in this community, and that is a wonderful and blessed thing. And I love coming. I grew up in a church very similar to the church here, the congregation, and I just enjoy being with you. And so if you'll allow me, I want to share a couple things with you this morning, talking about leaving a legacy. Now, my wife Jenny and I, we love taking our kids to Washington, D.C. We've done that a number of times over the years and love going to, you know, the monuments and going and touring through the museums. In fact, if you haven't been in a while, there's a new Bible museum in Washington, D.C., and it is outstanding. It is well done, easily the best museum that you'll see in D.C. I encourage you to go take a trip and go see that. It's really fabulous. But we love taking our kids and sharing, you know, our nation's history and legacy with them. And, you know, as you wander around D.C. and you see all the monuments and the museums and the statues, you can't help but wonder, you know, what kind of legacy am I leaving? I mean, when I'm gone from this earth, will it have mattered? I mean, what legacy am I leaving to my circle of influence, to my family, to my friends, to my community? You know, as I look around this church and I know some of your stories, I know that some of you, you're leaving a legacy. You're doing that as you've passed your faith on from one generation to the next. You've done that through your family. Some of you have done that in other ways. Maybe you've been teaching a Bible class here in this church for a number of years, shaping the hearts and the minds of some of the children that we just saw come in front of us. Maybe you've served on a committee, or maybe you've gone on a mission trip. That's leaving a legacy. And when I hear those stories of faith, I think, boy, that's what I want to do. I want to leave a legacy for the generation that comes after me. And so if you would, we're going to open up our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we're going to spend a little time together this morning. This is a powerful section of Scripture. If you know some of those stories from the Old Testament, here we find ourselves in Deuteronomy where Moses is kind of giving a farewell address to the Israelites. You know, the children of Israel, they were in captivity. They were in bondage in Egypt for generations. And it was Moses who went and led them out of Egypt, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, trying to find their way, or at least God giving them enough time to really get on track. But God had promised them that they would come into this land that they could call their own. And Moses is giving this address to them before they cross over the Jordan into the promised land. Let's look at what it says here in verse 1. It says, "These commands, decrees, laws that the Lord God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you're crossing in the Jordan to possess, so that you your children and their children after them may fear the Lord God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Now, today you can read all sorts of books or go to seminars of folks that will tell you how to lead a long and joyful, successful life. But you know, Moses gives that to us here in this very, very long sentence, right? He tells us how it is that we can enjoy a long life. What does he say? He says that we should follow God's instructions. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that we follow God's instructions, which really gives us kind of an idea of how do we leave a legacy. I think the first thing is we're very intentional. Very intentional on following God's instructions. And I believe that begins right there in each one of our homes. I mean, parents, you have a big role, a big responsibility. Because those kiddos that are growing up in your home, you know what they're doing? They're watching. They're watching you in every circumstance in life. On those good days, how do you respond? And on those challenging days, how do you respond? You see, within our homes, we are living out our faith on a day-to-day basis. But you know, sometimes I get frustrated as a parent because I find myself not being very consistent on the teaching and training of my kids. Sometimes, have you noticed how we will put more emphasis in some areas than in other areas? Sometimes, when it comes to spiritual development of our children in our home, sometimes we take a kind of a passive role. And this is frustrating. I know as I served in youth ministry for a number of years, oftentimes I would have parents that would come to me and say, well, you know, little Johnny, I'm not sure. You know, I hope that they will follow God. I hope that they will love Jesus. But they take a passive role. But isn't it interesting? We don't do this in all of the areas of our life. I mean, if your son or daughter is struggling at school, what do? You help them out with their homework. You make sure that they finish their project. Maybe you go visit the teacher. Maybe you get them into some special tutoring so that they can stay on track educationally, right? Or what if your kids maybe show a little bit of a talent in sports or in music or arts? What do? We get them on the right team. I mean, we get them some private lessons, and we'll spend hours and hours of driving them to practice and to rehearsals and to games and recitals, all so that they can be the very best as they develop those skills. But for some reason, when it comes to spiritual things within our home, sometimes we take a little bit more passive role. And we say, well, I hope that they'll love God. I hope that someday they'll follow Jesus. But I believe if we're going to leave a legacy, that begins at home. I believe that starts for all of us to be very intentional in the things that we do in our home. Let's go back to our section of scripture here. This time we're going to jump down to verse 4 in Deuteronomy 6. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home or when you go along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates." You see, Moses was trying to get them to understand your spiritual life. It should really permeate all areas of your life and of your home. So in other words, when we're at home, talk about your faith. And talk about those good days as well as those challenging days. When you're driving the kids to school or to soccer practice or lessons, talk about what's going on in their life. As a family, when you rise, when you get up, talk about some of the challenges that you'll face during the day. At the end of the day, before everybody goes to bed, talk about it. How'd you do today? What'd you struggle with? Make sure that your house is a house of faith. Which kind of leads me to the second point I want to share with you. I think as Christian homes, Christian families, we should have some core values of who we are and what we're about. I remember reading a book a few years ago by Dr. Rick Lytle. Rick was the dean of business at ACU for about 20 years. He's still on the teaching team there. But he wrote a book called Abandon the Ordinary. And in this book, he talks about, you know, as Christians, we should know what we're about, and we should guard and protect that with everything we are, or everything that we have. Because it's so easy in this world that we're living in, it's so easy to get distracted because there's all sorts of good things that you can be involved in. But sometimes when you spread yourself out so many different directions, it's easy to kind of get thinned out, right? It's easy to kind of lose track of what's really important. I remember about a year and a half ago, I learned the difference between a river and a flood. Do you know what the difference is? I learned a lot about a river about a year and a half ago. Remember what happened a year and a half ago? Yeah. I live in Sugar Land, and the Brazos River is just a couple hundred yards from my house. And so you can imagine we were watching and waiting to see what that river is going to do. There's some similarities between a river and a flood. A river and a flood both are large bodies of water. They can be powerful. But also there's some differences because a river has some boundaries to it. And it flows in one direction with purpose, right? But a flood can go anywhere. And when it goes anywhere, it can cause damage and destruction. Oftentimes in those flood waters, there's contaminants that when they set in, they can corrode. And you know, that's sometimes what happens with our families. Unless we're very purposeful, unless we're very intentional in going in one direction together, it's real easy to get spread out and allow some of our world to come in and contaminate and erode and corrode our family values. That's why it's so important for in everything that we do as a family to be very intentional, to know who we are and to know what we are about. That's what Moses was trying to communicate to the Israelites. If you're going to move into this new land, if you're going to establish and then pass on your faith from generation to generation, you're going to have to hold on to what is important. Now, if we were to fast forward this story of the Israelites from generation to generation, we know what happens. As the Israelites moved into the promised land and they began to set up cities and homes and really build their nation, we know that they struggled. In fact, as we can read through Chronicles and Kings, we know those stories, how the Israelites sometimes struggled with the nations that around them. They allowed those nations to infiltrate who they were and what they were about, and they began to erode the fabric of their belief system. As we read through the Old Testament, we know that they struggled with those other cultures pulling them away from God. And it was because of their disobedience that God allowed them to be conquered. Israel was conquered by the Babylonians. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The walls of the city were torn down. Many of the Israelites perished. Some of them scattered. Most of them were taken into captivity once again. For about 70 years, they were captive, crying out to God, wishing and hoping for something better. It wasn't till Zerubbabel came along and led a group of Israelites out of Babylon on this 900-mile march back to Jerusalem. And when they got back to Jerusalem, you know what they did? They set up their houses again, but then they began to rebuild the temple. And they struggled with that for a number of years. And then it was Ezra that also brought back another group, this time 60,000 Israelites. They made that same march back to Jerusalem. And they began to once again rebuild the city and take their lives back again. But they still struggled again as the neighboring cities and nations continued to advance on them and continued to try to pull them away. But it wasn't until Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem, and then he brought back another group back to Israel. And he said, hey, if we are going to be God's people, we need to rebuild the walls of this city. They weren't sure how that was going to happen, but Nehemiah led them in such a way that they rebuilt the walls of that city in 52 days. No trucks, no machines, all by hand, stacking it one by one by one, all around that city. Turn your Bibles to Nehemiah. We're going to take a look and see how they did that. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. It says, from that day on, half of the servants worked on the construction. Half of them held spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work in one hand and held on to his weapon in the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while he built. How did they do it? They knew that they would be opposed in rebuilding that wall, in rebuilding their nation. And so they were ready. They prepared themselves, not empty-handed, but ready to do battle at any time. You know, right now we're in baseball season. Brought a prop with me. Baseball season, our Astros are doing well right now. And I know there's probably some baseball players that are here with us today. Some of you, you're watching your kids or your grandkids play ball right now, and that's a great, great thing. But let me ask a question. How many of you would be willing to step up in the batter's box without a bat? Maybe a better question to ask is, can a team win and never touch a bat? Think about that for a second. I mean, can one of the players step up into the batter's box and still score a run? Well, the answer is yes. Because if they're willing to stand in that batter's box and that pitcher throws four balls before he throws three strikes, what happens? You get a walk to first base, right? Well, does that score a run? No. Instead, the next batter has to get up. And he has to also wait there with no bat, waiting for that pitcher to throw four balls before he throws three strikes, and you progress around the bases. And then if that happens enough times, then you score, right? Well, how many of you would like a coach that has that strategy? I mean, hoping that the other team makes enough mistakes that you'll move around the bases. I mean, you wouldn't put up with that. The same is true in our own lives, in our own faith. We can't have this passive deal to say, oh, I hope my kids will follow Jesus. I hope that they love God someday. No, instead, we have to prepare them. We have to give them the tools that they need that will prepare them to live a long and happy life. Next weekend, my daughter, my oldest daughter, graduating from college. And I will tell you, for my kids, sending them off, I've got two in college right now, I know that they faced some challenges that we thought that we had prepared them for. But I'm telling you, the world that our kids are going into is faced with all sorts of opposition, especially if you're vocal about who you are as a Christian. I believe as a church, we need to do everything we can to prepare our kids for a challenge of faith that is before them. Because it doesn't matter if your kids go to the right school and get the right education. It doesn't matter if they earn the right degree to get them the right job. It doesn't matter if they find the right job or marry the right person. Because if they're wrong about who Jesus is in their life, it doesn't matter what they're right about. And that's why, as believers, as a church, we need to really be thinking strategically about leaving a legacy on the next generation, not allowing it to be watered down, not allowing that faith to be corroded, but instead building up this next generation and encouraging them along the way. And every one of you plays a part in that. Every one of you, especially those of you that have lived a life of faith, it's your job to do whatever you can to speak words of life into our young people, to speak words of encouragement to them, to pass on your knowledge, your experience, your faith down to them. I love that series that y'all did last year called The Blessing. I think it was about this time last year, talking about passing on those words of encouragement, picturing that great future for the next generation. Are you doing that? Are you doing that in your own home? Are you doing that in your Bible classes? Are you doing that in this church? Are you doing that in this community? I certainly hope and pray that you are. Because as Christians, we know we're not perfect. We make lots of mistakes. But you know, the gift that has been given to us through a relationship with Jesus Christ is an amazing one. And we've got something to share. Because Ephesians 1:5 says, we have been adopted into God's family. And that's an amazing gift. Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 5, he says, you see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's an amazing gift. It's an amazing relationship that we have an opportunity to step into and to pass on. This morning, if you're here with us today, and maybe you've been thinking about taking that next step of faith, maybe putting on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life, being baptized, or maybe you've been on that journey with God for a long time, but you've kind of gotten off that path. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you need some brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. This morning, we want to invite you, if you have any need of this church, this morning our elders are going to be here and they're ready to receive you. But we want to encourage you to take that next step as you're thinking about the legacy that you leave for Jesus Christ each and every day. Let's stand together as we sing.
My faithful Father, in the